What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online when the game starts.
BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network, changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z, sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews, you name it, we have it. Check it out on bs3network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
Back on the Boss Man Show here with Coach Chris Casey. The Fairfield Stags had a great year, 24 wins this year in the MAC Conference. Coach, good to talk to you, man. How's things up there in Fairfield, man?
Things are good. We don't have the cicadas that you were just talking about, so we're not battling that. But things are good. You know, we're getting towards the end of the year. Guys are just finishing up finals. We had our last spring workout today, so they're getting ready to get their final assignments in and get finals done. We got a great group coming back, so we've signed some good guys. So we're excited about what's going to happen for us going forward.
Now, Coach Casey, for you, man, you got this job October 16th, man. And man, how was that a bit of a whirlwind for you to jump in back to the saddle? You've been a head coach before previously, as we all know, but not expecting to be the head coach on October 16th. So how did that kind of come happen for you and your players, man, to have such a great year that you all had?
Yeah, it was. It was a scenario, you know, when they asked me to take on this role, I was going to do it. But first, I need a job and I want to coach, you know. And the second reason is I really love the guys. It was a great group of guys on a team. So I wasn't going to walk away from that either. So there was the difficult part was, you know, you were going to coach and you were not going to be coaching with guys that you have long term relationships with because there was some change now with the staff. But in the end, I was definitely going to do it because I love coaching and I love this group. So we were kind of faced with now, it's October 16th, we're going to play in 11 days and we're playing at Boston College. So there becomes the question now, you know, you got a short time span, what are you going to do with it? Are you going to make changes? Are you not going to make changes? Are you going to, change things in a lineup? So, and you also at the same time, you want guys on a good track too that are playing. You don't want to get them thinking and not playing basketball because of changes you're making. So ultimately I decided to say, let's roll with what we're doing. We practiced twice. We had our first scrimmage And I just kind of said to myself, you know, I got to coach what I coach. I got to coach my own stuff. And that doesn't make one way right, one way wrong. It just makes it what I'm comfortable with. So we started making changes gradually. I told our team, you know, guys, our timeline is going to be a little bit different because of where we started from. And we stressed, just keep your head down and keep working. And eventually it's going to click. And after a rough start and, you know, trying to work some guys back from injuries and making some changes, it did. It clicked. And that's a credit to our guys who just kept working through the changes and kept their head down and kept going.
And you know what, Coach Casey, what's good about that is sometimes young men either embrace adversity or run from it or fold, and your guys embraced it and just stayed the course. I know that sounds trite, but just staying the course and being together about what we're trying to accomplish and our goal we're trying to accomplish, it really does work in basketball and sports, period, because I feel like sometimes if you stick with your team and what you all got the same common goals, you'll be okay if you really committed to what you're doing the right way.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, that's true in any walk of life. It doesn't matter, you know, if you have your own business, if you're, you know, you're a male in your family. It's true in any walk of life. You have to have resiliency and you have to have the correct approach every day, because there's no smooth path. There's no path that goes straight up. There's always going to be dips in your path or hurdles in your path. And those aren't important. What's important is how you handle them. And do you keep going with the same energy, the same enthusiasm, the same positive attitude? If you do, you are going to have breakthroughs and you're going to accomplish things. And that's what these guys did. I mean, we had talent. I thought we did some good things offensively and defensively. But the main reason for our success was that approach. Every day, the same attitude, the same energy, the same work ethic, the same togetherness. And that was a big, big part of what we were able to accomplish this year.
And Coach, man, for you, man, making it to the CBI semifinals, playing in Daytona, man, that's, you invited me down there. So how fun was that for your guys to get to go down there, play against quality teams, get two quality wins on a tough semifinal game you had, but be able to go down and compete in postseason ball and kind of set a marker to build on from last year and going to next season as well?
Yeah, that was terrific for us. You know, obviously, there's going to be some level of disappointment. We got to the conference championship game, and we lost a close one to St. Peter's, who did an outstanding job in that game. So credit to them and their coaching staff. But, you know, there's going to be a disappointment level after something like that. You've worked for it all year. But our guys still wanted to play, you know, and that was a conversation we had. And the CBI does a wonderful job of running that tournament down at Daytona. It's professionally run. There's some good teams in it. And we decided ultimately to go, and it was good for us. You know, we won two games down there, lost in the semifinal to Seattle. But we had a couple really good wins, and we had a couple guys have breakout games. And so the overall response to going down there was definitely a positive thing for us.
And, Coach, for these workouts in the spring, Coach, is it more so still kind of putting more of your stuff in, or is it more kind of individual work trying to get guys ready for that summertime grind of getting better and before you start putting more team stuff in late in the summer into that fall once school starts back in August?
Yeah, we really pay attention in the spring and the summer to expanding guys' games. We'll do a little bit of team stuff here and there, but I'm a firm believer that if your players get better individually, your team's going to get better collectively. So we'll spend the fall, we spend a lot of time on working on individual games. I'm sorry, the spring, and then the summer we'll do the same. When we hit the fall, then we'll start paying attention more to team practice and what we need to do as a team. But really, that's the goal of the spring and the summer to me. Get bigger, faster, stronger in the weight room and expand your game. Get better at things in your game and be more difficult to guard, be a better player. So we'll spend most of our time on that.
Coach, aren't you glad that the old days are gone? We're back when I played and you and I played, man. Well, it was October 15th. You had to figure out something, you know, in a month before game started, yeah. Man. Now you get the guys in the spring, the summer, you get creative, work with guys' games. Now you get out of, hey, October 15th, roll the balls out. We go home for the best. Okay, in November.
Yeah. I'm sure the guys are glad that's gone too, because the reality was you started school September 5th and you weren't practicing until October 15th. So you and I both know you spend a lot of time out on that track running. That's yes. basically what everybody did. They had their
random stereos too, coach. Those stereo burners too.
They had those running workouts going, and then you'd have running tests you had to pass to get into practice. And it really wasn't basketball, to be honest with you. So yeah, I it's great that you have access to these guys for that additional time. And I think the guys appreciate it too, because they get a chance to get better as players, which they all want. I do think you have to be smart with it, though. It's a long season. You know, when you factor in the 8 weeks of the summer, and then you're basically starting that third, fourth week in September, your games are starting in November. They're running all the way through to mid, late March. You have to be smart with it on how you approach it, because you can wear an individual or a team out, too. So you have to be smart on how you do it. You have to be cognizant of keeping legs fresh and keeping minds fresh. So it's a good thing to have, but I think the way you do it is very important.
100%, coach. And for you, coach, man, as this NIL and transfer portal thing goes and limited transfers, how are you approaching trying to build your roster there going forward as the COVID year ends after this season? They'll be back the kind of way it used to be. All the older guys have aged out. So how do you approach building a roster with the limited transfers, the portal and the NIL stuff that we have to deal with in college sphere right now?
Yeah, day-to-day is the answer to that. You know, there's really – so things have obviously changed a lot. And, you know, I look at it more this way. That's the new rules of the road, you know. So you can either complain about it and point fingers about it, or you can embrace it and try to do the best you can with it. I certainly understand – what players are trying to do. Like, we have a couple good players in the portal, and they've been great here. They've done great things for us, and they're in for no other reason than, you know, trying to see if they can move to a higher level and reap the benefits of that higher level. And I completely understand that, and I support it. You know, if the Knicks called me tomorrow and wanted me to coach the team, I would look at that too, you know. So not that that's going to happen, but that's just an example, you know. So I understand what they're trying to do. So it's really the new rules of the road. So, you know, it's important you have good relationship with your existing players to help keep them. And that certainly doesn't guarantee anything. And it's important that you're constantly aware of who's out there, not only in the portal, but the junior college world, the prep school world, the high school world. You want good players and you want good people. And you're going to have to explore all those options to do it. The big difference is now is how quickly things happen. Recruiting used to be a long-term process, which allowed you to build more relationship going into the commitment to your school. You did home visits. You were at the school a number of times. You started, you know, 2-3 years in advance. That's really kind of changed, and it's become more like speed dating. So you really have to be quick about not only finding guys who are talented players, but making sure that you're paying attention to what their makeup is. You know, does their makeup match that talent? Are they the right people? Do they have the right mentality? Are they going to work? Are they about team over self? You know, you have to do those things much quicker now because, you know, guys will make commitments a lot quicker.
100%, coach. And I've told young men this too at different levels. Hey, if you are playing well and getting stats in a certain place, just because of a different logo and different names, I mean, you'll play as much. And then, because this is what scouts look for overseas and NBA and agents, you're going to have some numbers. If you're just the eighth or ninth guy at a high major, you're not putting up any numbers. So I'll stay where I'm at and put up numbers. So I can put money in my bank account down the road playing this game of basketball we all love.
It's a great point, because this is the conversation that mid-major coaches have with their best players who go in the portal, you know. And I've this will be my 39th year coming up of coaching college basketball, so I've seen it both ways. So if you're a mid-major player and you're putting up really good numbers at your school, right, you're going to draw the attention of scouts, whether it be get on an NBA summer league team, maybe an NBA workout, overseas scouts. You're going to draw attention with that because of those numbers. So now the decision becomes, do I stay at that level and keep putting up those numbers and win games, or do I roll the dice now and try to go to a higher level in hopes of attaining those goals. It's got positives and negatives to it. The majority of the statistics show that the guys who do that now, their numbers get cut in half. Points per game, minutes per game, shot attempts per game. Those things go down. So now what you've done is scouts who are looking at you when you were playing at the mid-major level, putting up number and saying, that guy might be a high-level guy. Now what you've done is you've shown them, well, maybe you're not a high-level guy. So now your interest is different. And now if you do go overseas, instead of starting in the top league, you're going to start in the third league or the fourth league in those countries. And now it takes a couple of years to work your way up into a good paycheck, a good situation. And a lot of guys don't persevere that. So they hop out relatively quickly as opposed to going over there and starting at the high-level leagues and maybe working your way to another country, to another high-level league where that's got a better situation for you. So there's pros and cons to it. And, you know, statistically, the numbers show that it's not the best idea for a lot of guys.
100%. You know, and my dad talked to me about that. Like, look, son, stay at Tennessee State. Do what you're doing at Tennessee State. Do not leave. So I'm glad that back in the 2000s, my dad had that much foresight for me then, and he worked out for me. So I'm thankful for my father being able to tell me that. And I took his advice. I wasn't hard-headed. I took his advice. It worked out for me pretty darn well, I must say.
Yeah, it's important to have – that's the other part of this whole deal. It's important to have the right people around you, you know, because there's going to be – when you go in that portal or you're out there to be recruited, there's a lot of people going to say a lot of things, you know. Yes. And that's both the places that are recruiting you, the people that may have coached you along the way, family members. So it's really difficult. I mean, I think the best advice is to keep a tight circle on that kind of stuff and really trust the people whose actions have matched their words and that have helped you along the way, because those are the guys that have your best interest in mind and will give you the best advice.
100%. And Coach Bass gets coaching, man, for you. So when you're not coaching hard, man, doing your thing, man, so how do you kind of like get away from the game and decompress and enjoy yourself, man?
Well, a couple ways. First, my family's real important to me. I got a wonderful wife. I got two daughters. They were both college soccer players. They're both going to graduate now, one with a master's and one undergrad. You know, so I always like spending time with them. As a coach, you spend a lot of time away. I'm fortunate that they're very much part of our program. My wife is always around, and she knows every single one of the players, and it's great when she walks in the gym and she's giving every guy a hug. Hey, good to see you. You know, I think that's important for me to be around. And the same with my daughters. So I'll spend time with them. I get my workouts in. I want that, you know, almost on a daily basis. I used to do a lot of road races and triathlons. That was in my younger years. My body got a little beat up from that. So I've kind of moved now to kickboxing workouts and things like that. I've really kind of gotten into that and gotten an interest in that. Those are really the two things. I'll watch some baseball. Big Met fan, unfortunately. I know that doesn't sit well with your Atlanta viewers. You guys are a pain in our rear and have been for a long time. God bless you, though. You're one of the best franchises in Major League Baseball history, to be honest with you. But I'll watch a bunch of baseball if I have free time. I enjoy that, too. Because baseball, you know, when I'm watching the NBA playoffs, I love watching the Knicks. I'm straight New York. Knicks, Giants, Mets. I love watching the Knicks and what they're doing. But when I watch NBA games, I'm dissecting it. You know, 100%. What do they run there? How are they rotating on this? What are they doing on the ball screen coverage? And I enjoy that part of it. But if I go watch some baseball, I can shut my brain off from that and just enjoy it. So those are kind of the things I like to do.
Yeah, you know, Coach, what I do, Coach, I come to the U.S. Open every year, man. I go to the U.S. Open. The whole time I catch me a Mets game across the wave. They're in town while the U.S. Open in town. So, you know, I caught lucky to catch a Brave game up there, up at City Field and Old Shea Stadium. So, yeah, now, I'm saying like you, I'm Coach. I'm Hawks, Braves, and Falcons. I know it's probably painful for me because I can't get much money other than the Braves.
You know what's crazy, too, with young guys? Like, I don't understand this. They got no geographic loyalty. You got guys from Jersey, and their favorite team is the Cardinals, you know, or the Arizona Diamondbacks. Like, I don't know. I grew up in New York, so I'm rooting for everything New York. I don't know. The geographic loyalty part, I don't quite get all the time, but.
Yeah, Coach, I grew up a Hawks ball boy and a Brave bat boy.
Yeah.
But there's a kid, man, so I got that loyalty. So I'm
You're not going anywhere. You're straight
Atlanta. That's all I know.
God bless you.
You know what, Coach, what also helped me, too, was the Braves came on at 7:35 on TBS every night. Yeah. They had the Cubs on WGN at 2:20, or 3:20, depending on what day how they played. So it was like I had the Cubs in the early afternoon, the Braves late in the evening, after the Fresh Prince came on, 7:35, first pitch for the Atlanta Braves on TBS.
Yeah, that was – so we had a little different when I was growing up. You had limited stations, you know, on the TV. So if you wanted to watch the Knicks or you, they weren't always on TV. You know, they would be on, but sometimes it was tape delay. I grew up a big fan of St. John's, but you had to wait till Saturday on WOR to see that game. So it wasn't as readily available as it is now. And I'll tell you this crazy story about the Knicks. This is kind of funny. So I grew up in Brooklyn and Queens. We were living in Jackson Heights, Queens. And around a block from us, I lived on 72nd Street and 25th Avenue, which was right on the big Brooklyn-Queens Expressway. Around the block, there was a school called the Lexington School for the Deaf. So it was an international school, and families would send their children there for education because their kids were deaf. And they had facilities there. So the Knicks used to do a couple satellite practices around the city, and one of them was at Lexington School for the Deaf. So I have memories of my pop taking me around a block, walking into a Knicks practice and watching Bill Bradley and Walt Frazier and Dave DeBuscher and those guys run up and down in practice. And then they would, there was maybe 50 people in the gym, and they would come over and talk to you afterwards, which is unbelievable. I mean, you can't get anywhere near that now because of what the NBA has exploded into. And that's a good thing. But that's a memory I have, you know, from a long time ago when I was very, very young. And I mean, to think that you're sitting in the gym in a folding chair and watching Walt Frazier run up and down, that's kind of crazy, you know?
You're right, Coach, because up until 1999, the Hawks practiced at Morehouse.
Right, there you go.
And that's like 5 minutes from where I grew up at. So yeah. I got to meet Coach Brown, the former Knicks coach, Mr. Ubi. I got Coach Lenny Wilkins, Mike Patello, the Czar. So all those guys I was around as a kid because they practiced at Morehouse, which was 5 minutes from where I grew up at.
That's awesome. That's good stuff. Good stuff.
So, yeah, so same as you, Coach. Right in my backyard to go watch NBA players, see Tree Rollins, John Konkak, all those guys, Kimmy Mutombo, all the Mookie Blaylock, all those guys. It was just dudes to me. They're my favorite Hawk guys. So I say, that's how I got to be a ball boy by going to practices. I got to be a ball boy. That's how it happened for me. And now I'm in media now, covering the Hawks. So full circle.
Good stuff, man. That's good stuff.
Yes, sir. Now, Coach, before you go, Coach, how was New York City basketball back in your day in high school, man? I know there's a lot of competition, man. How was it, man? Being immersed in all that stuff, man.
Well, you know, there was a stretch there where there was some unbelievable New York City guards. I think what's happened in New York, and I don't, this isn't a good thing or a bad thing. It's just what's happened. New York City basketball is still very good, but what you have is a lot of New York City players that are now playing elsewhere. They're in prep schools. They've gone to schools outside of the city for various reasons, and you have less of them actually playing in New York. When all those New York guys stayed in New York, and, you know, you're going back to the 80s, the 90s, early 2000s, there were some great teams in the Catholic League. You had multiple Division I players in all these teams. You had, you know, 3, 4, in some cases, 5 Division I players on a team. In a public school league, you had 5, 6, 7, 8 Division I players in a public school league because all those kids stayed in New York. The rivalries were great. The basketball was great. You had less AAU teams, so there was rivalries with that. You know, you had Riverside Church, you had the Gauchos. There was 3 or 4 main ones, the Madison Square Broncos. So they all went to those teams. So those were great teams outside of New York because they weren't watered down. But now what you have is, you know, a lot of those New York guys are playing elsewhere. I think the closest thing for me that I've seen to what New York City basketball was is when I go down to the DMV area around D.C., Baltimore. A lot of those kids stay in those private schools and play for their teams. They play on those local AAU teams, which are, you know, Nike-sponsored or Under Armour-sponsored, and there's great rivalries there. So I think that that's the closest thing I've seen to that that time frame of New York is when I go down there and watch those teams or those events, because it's great basketball. It's great coaching. The players, they know each other, but they go at each other. So I think there's a similarity to what's going on there now to what used to go on in New York back some decades ago.
Well, Coach, I tell you what, man, some great ball back then, man. Hope to see you doing live, period, Coach. I'll be at the Peace Jam. I'll be in Rock Hill. I'll be at Lake Point in Atlanta here. So hope to see you on the road when I get your number offline. It's been a fun chat today with your coaches. Fun talk to a basketball guy like yourself, peers like yourself, man. It was great to chat with you, man.
I really enjoyed it, too, and appreciate you having me on. And definitely, if I see you at those events, make sure we say hello and make contact.
Sounds good, Coach. Richard, Coach, it was fun, man.
All right. Enjoy. Have a good day.
All right.
BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV.
Yes, BS3 Network. Changing the way you watch TV. Covering content and hot topics from A to Z. Sports, music, society and culture, movie reviews. You name it, we have it. Check it out on BS3Network.com or check us out on Roku, BS3 TV on Roku, as well as check out your favorite podcast on all podcast platforms or Spreaker.com/BS3Network.
You are now tuned to BS3 Network.
What's up, good people? BetOnline is your number one source for all your betting needs. The latest odds, lines, and matchup reports for baseball, boxing, golf, and more. BetOnline continues to be the fastest and easiest way to place your wagers, including live betting and your favorite casino and card games available to play right from your phone. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and get in on the action. Remember to use your promo code BLEAV, B-L-E-A-V, for your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. Bet online where the game starts. What's up, family? Jared the Boss Man here. You're tuned into the Boss Man Show on AM 1010, AM 1430, 105.5 The King. Check The King out at 105theking.com and The Boss Man Show at bossmanshow.com. Hit me up on Instagram, The Boss Man Show, Twitter at Boss Man Show, and Facebook, Boss Man Show. It's The Boss Man on your radio.
Listen to The Boss Man Show with your host, JR, Saturdays at 9 a.m. right here on AM 1010, The King.